Who's ready to thrive today? Come on now. One more time. Who's ready to thrive today? There we go. We are declaring in 2019, we are going to walk. We're going to thrive in the way God wants us. The word thrive means to blossom. It means to succeed, to do well in the things God has for us for our life. 2019, we're declaring, God, it's time for us to grow our roots deep and to thrive where you're taking us. Now, how many have ever said, I'm just waiting on God? Come on, raise your hand if you ever said that before. I've said it before. Have you ever said that before? I'm just waiting on God. What are you waiting on God for? Well, I'm waiting on God. God, should I get involved in this ministry? I'm waiting on God. God, should I give more this year of myself? Should I give more of my finances? Should I give more of my time? I'm waiting on God. God, should I help the people at my job that are going through the hard times? Should I be encouraged? I'm waiting on you to tell me, God. Should I give to the people who are really needing it? God, you know, we're waiting on God for what? I mean, many times I think we think God is really slow. God, you must be really slow. I'm waiting on God. Like, we're going to run way ahead. I've had people actually tell me, I don't want to run ahead of God. I'm like, you must think God's really slow, man. We're not going to run ahead of God. And let me just say this to you. God, today, we know he is the first, and we know where to give him our first. And we know it's important to wait upon the Lord. When the Bible talks about waiting upon the Lord, it's more of a place of worship. It's talking about humbling ourselves before God, opening our heart, kneeling before him. We wait before him in his presence. But let me tell you this. We are not waiting on God. This is the opposite today. God is waiting on us. God is waiting on me. He's waiting on you. God is waiting on us. God is waiting on us. Are we going to be where he's called us to be? Are we going to grow roots deep where he's called us to grow them deep? God is waiting on us. God is waiting on us. I want to talk to you about that thought today. God is waiting on you. Turn to your neighbor and say that. Say, God is waiting on you. God's waiting on us. Today, I know God is waiting on us. I'm going to read you a story here in 1 Kings 17. We'll pick it up in the first part of that in chapter 17, verse 2 in just a second. But what's happened here is Elijah has been instructed by God to go to Israel and tell them, said, listen, there's going to be a great famine coming your way. Prepare yourself now. A famine is coming to the land. And after he goes and prophesies this, look what God says to him now. Then the word of the Lord came to him saying, get away from here and turn eastward. And hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook. And I have commanded the ravens, not the ones from Baltimore, but the actual ravens, to feed you there. Where? Everybody say ravens? That's important to remember. God commanded the ravens to feed you there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. He went and he stayed by the brook of Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And it happened after, while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land, the word of the Lord came to him now, saying, arise where you're at, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, now he said, get up, go there. See, I have commanded the widow to provide for you. So he arose, went to Zarephath, and he came to the gate of the city. Indeed, the widow was there gathering the sticks. Now, let me paraphrase the rest of the story. We see now where he goes to the widow and says, listen, lady, I know you don't really know me, but man, I'm a prophet. And God, when I was praying, God told me to come and tell you to bake me something to eat, to cook me a meal. And she's like, sir, you may be a good prophet where you're at. I don't know, but let me just tell you something. I've got enough for just one meal, and I'm a widow because of the famine. There's no rain, there's no harvest, there's no crops. We're down to our last meal. A matter of fact, I had just said to myself, we're going to go in, I'm going to cook this last meal, take the last bit of oil I have, take the last bit of flour I have, and I'm just going to make my son and I my last meal, and then we're going to die. We're going to die of starvation because we have no other means of feeding ourselves during the famine. And, of course, we know the story goes on that he says, lady, you just do it and trust the Lord. And, of course, she did. She honored what God had said. She cooked him a meal. And the Bible says throughout the rest of that famine that her jar never went empty. That she had always had oil in her jar and that she always had enough flour to cook a meal. Didn't say she had an abundance, but it does say she had everything she needed from day to day to provide for her and her son. Now, today, I want you to know it's important that we are planted where God wants us to be, that we are growing our roots deep where God wants us to be. See, God's thoughts are not our thoughts. Isaiah says his thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. We got to quit thinking that way. Sometimes we think through American culture. We think through society, what we're doing. And God doesn't think that way, okay? God doesn't use an American filter over his culture thinking about us. His ways go way beyond that. And let me tell you this, God really does care about where you're growing your roots at. Let me say this to you another way. God really cares that you're faithful to church. God really cares that you are putting church as a priority in your life and that you're putting him first and you're saying, as for me and my house, we're going to be there. We're going to serve. We're going to give. We're going to grow our roots deep as a family, as an individual. I'm putting my roots down deep in this place. God really does care about that. It means a lot to God. It's a really big deal. That's why we believe in this series we're teaching about growing our roots deep, that it causes us to thrive. See, we will never have the blessing God wants for us until we grow our roots deep. God, why aren't you sending me this massive fruit? God, why aren't you sending me this abundance? God, why aren't you sending what I need? And God's like, I'm waiting on you. You ain't waiting on me. Grow your roots deep. Why would he send us a multitude of fruit in our life when our roots aren't deep? And what's going to happen is this: every time the wind blows, we're being blown over. Every time life huffs and puffs, the big bad wolf comes and knocks on your door and I'm going to blow your house down, and he blows, we get knocked over because we haven't taken time to build our house upon the rock. Come on now. You can build it out of sticks, but when you build it upon the rock, out of brick, the big bad wolf and huff, and he can puff, and he can try to blow your house down. But when you have grown your roots deep in the things of God, and you say, I'm building my life on the foundation, upon this rock, on the rock of who Jesus Christ is, I've got to learn to do that. And then I'm preparing myself. Why would God want to bless me when I'm uprooting myself? I go over here this year, I'm planting my roots here. Next year, I'm going to a different church and planting my roots. Next year, I'm going to a different church and planting my roots. Next year, I'm going to a different church. But next year, there's this one. I mean, it's always something. No, if you want to sustain, you got to learn to dig deep. Plant your roots deep into the body where God's called you to be. Plant your roots deep where God is trying to plant you. You listen, this should be the exception that you uproot. It shouldn't be a thing that happens all the time. It should be the exception. Once in a while, it is necessary, but it should be very far and few between. You should be planting your roots deep. It's saying, God, I'm ready. I'm ready to grow. I'm ready to help the place I'm at grow. I'm ready for you to do something in my life. It really is a big deal to God. God really cares about us being there because he knows the things we're going to face this week. God knows the trials you're going to face this week. He knows the difficulties they're going to face this week. So he wants you to be here because you're encouraged. See, those who made the effort to get out and to break out the ice off their windshield this morning and to get up when it's frozen and to get up and warm the car up and to get up and get the family bundled up and to get here. It was a struggle for many of you, I'm sure. But you made the effort to do that. He knows it. Why? Because when you're here, you get encouraged. I can't spend time in worship and not be encouraged. I can't spend the time in worship with other believers. It encourages me. God speaks to me. This message today, the Holy Spirit is going to give it to you in a way. Each one of us individually is going to give you tools even this week, that you're going to be able to apply and to motivate yourself, to inspire somebody else, to minister to yourself and to somebody else. That's what happens when we come together. So coming together, he said, don't forsake it, man. Keep coming together. It's important. He knows that in the environment that we come together like this, it's important for our spiritual growth. Are you hearing me? The environment of assembling ourselves together is important for our spiritual growth. Now look at this statement. Our well-being is not just determined by who you are, but where you are. Not just by who you are. Have you ever taken time with your kids and say, listen, this is who we are, man. We're Clarks. We work hard. We're disciplined. We show respect to school. We come back and we say things, man, like, man, we are Harlins, man. We do this. We give it 110%. We don't quit things. We start what we finish, and we do all these things, and we keep trying to tell our kids this. We're going to study hard. We're going to honor our teachers. Man, we're going to bring our homework home. We're going to do our best in the classroom. We're going to show respect. We instill. Remember, you are somebody. You are somebody. You're smart. You're important. We tell them you can be anything you want to be. And so all of our life, we're trying to instill in our kids this sense of value of who they are. That's important. Don't stop doing that. Your kids need to hear that, okay? They need to hear how valuable they are. We need to speak into their lives as often as possible. That's important. But we also know that it's just not who they are that's important. It's who they're around that's important, right? It's where you are that's important. They can be in the wrong spot and be in trouble. Come on now. Environment really matters. It's either helping them grow or it's helping them not grow. It's either helping them move forward in their life in maturity or it's helping them taking back immaturity ways. And it's one way or the other. And many times it's about that environment. You've instilled in them principles as parents, but we know until they change their environment that oftentimes that's not going to produce in their life. They work hand in hand. So who you are is important, but also where you are is just as important, okay? We got to realize that the environment really matters to God. The Christian faith is not just about belonging. It's about believing as well. It's about believing and also belonging. Belonging. I've had people tell me, man, I love God, but I just don't like the church. I love God, but I can't stand Christians. And I say to you, I understand that. I've met some really weird Christians. I've met some really hateful Christians. I've met some Christians that, man, they don't act like Jesus at all. So I get that, okay? The world's full of them. We have some in this church. Whoopity-doo, okay? Nobody's perfect here. If you think that, then you're in the wrong spot. There's nobody perfect here. But let me tell you this. If you come to me and say, Pastor, I really, really love you. I really like you. Man, I love you. But I hate your wife. It ain't going to work. It ain't going to fly. Isn't that right, honey? You'll come to me and say, you love me, but you hate my wife. We're not going to be friends. Don't come to me and say, Pastor Gene, I really love you. But man, I hate your kids. You're going to get hit right in the mouth. I'm telling you right now. I'll take off that pastor's hat just like that. Just keeping it real today, all right? Why? Don't tell me you love me that I hate my children and I hate my wife. It doesn't fly. It's the same thing. God, I love you, but man, I hate your church. The Bible says we are the bride of Christ. So if you say you hate the church, you're hating his bride. It says we are a chosen people. We are God's children. So if I hate the church, if I hate Christians, then I'm hating his children. It doesn't fly, you see? It doesn't go together. No, I've got to learn to get along. All families are not perfect, right? It takes a blending. It takes a lot of times breaking up fights and refereeing relationships. We work through it, right? We work through it. But listen, don't take it out on God. Don't disconnect yourself because you didn't get along the way you thought you should. We got to get connected. We got to stay there because God is wanting us to belong. Look what 13:20 says of Proverbs. Proverbs 13:20. Hey, hang out with the wise people and you become wise. This is not rocket science, right? Hang out with the wise, become wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. So he's saying this, man, this is important. Come around, hang around people. Listen, the thirst for God, the hunger for God, it's the root of all wisdom right there. That's the root of the wisdom, those who want. So I want to be around other people who are saying, God, I want to find out your will for my life. God, I want to please you in my life. God, I want to serve you in my life. God, I want to give my life to you. God, I want to give my time to you. I want to be around those kind of people. That's important. I want to be around those kind of people because the environment pushes me. And the Bible says I hang around in that kind of environment, I'm going to grow in wisdom. I'm going to be a wise person. But you hang out, a companion of fools suffers harm. What's that mean? That means you may not be a fool. You may be a very wise person. You may be a very mature person. But you hang out with fools and you're going to suffer harm. Why? Because your environment affects you. It affects who we are. Our environments continue to matter in our life. What are we doing? See, that's why our time as parents really does matter. Listen, you got to know who your kids are hanging around. You got to know who your teenagers are running with. Well, they're a big kid. You get in their business and you find out. Who are you spending your time with? Who are you hanging with? What's going on? Why? Because their life is at risk. And the people they hang around is going to either help excel them in maturity or decrease them. Hanging out with fools and you're going to suffer harm. No, you're better than that. No, you got more wisdom than that. No, we're going to stop hanging around those people. I can't tell me who to hang out with. Take them shoes off. That I just bought this week. Hand me that phone bill I just paid for. Hand me the keys to that car, which I pay the insurance, and put gas in the car for you right now. Go ahead and hand it over right now. I'm telling you why. It's too important. I've got to know. Why? Because I'm hanging around the wrong people, man. They're heading for trouble in their life. How many parents say amen to that? Okay. Now, children, this is where you get a chance to get back at your parents. Because parents, how hypocritical of us to expect that out of our teenagers and children, but yet we don't apply it to our own life as adults. We just hang out with everybody. We just hang out with anybody. I still hang out with fools and then wonder why I'm suffering harm. I'm trying to change. I'm trying to make better decisions. I'm trying to grow my marriage stronger. I'm trying to do better, but I'm hanging out with the wrong crowd. It's important. Environment matters. I want to grow my roots deep. I want to surround myself with wise people. It doesn't mean I can't have any kind of relationship, but I'm not a companion of fools any longer. I hung around some of those people. I've been a companion of fools in my past, and it cost me in my life. But I'm telling you, when I begin to hang around the wise, even a foolish person like me begin to take the right steps. I'm telling you, environment really matters to God. Growing ourselves deep, being in the right spot really matters to God. So he tells him this. Look at this now. Satan knows this. Satan knows that our spiritual strength is connected to our church attendance and where we are growing our roots deep. That's why on Sunday morning, everything that could go wrong goes wrong. Am I telling the truth this morning? Isn't it amazing that the blow dryer never breaks except for Sunday morning? The curtain irons never break except for Sunday morning. I never run out of makeup except for Sunday morning. I can never find socks except for Sunday morning. You know, I can find my socks all week long, but Sunday morning, I can't find any clean socks. We can't find anything to wear. We're out of formula on Sunday morning. We're out of diapers Sunday morning. I mean, all these things happen. You're going to get in a big knockout, drag out fight Sunday morning trying to get here on time and get the kids ready for church. Some of you are like, oh Lord, he's preaching to us right now. Honey, did you text Pastor Gene on the way to church? No, I'm just telling you, Satan's going to fight you.
He's going to try to do anything he can to keep you from coming. That's why I continue to preach that Saturday should be sent and spent in your life getting ready for Sunday. Get your clothes laid out Saturday night. Have the diaper bag packed and ready on Saturday night. Have everything ready. Have the kids' class. Have the socks out. Have the shoe. Have everything found on Saturday night. So Sunday morning, you have the least amount to do. You can get up and get here. It's important. Why? Because it's important. And Satan will do anything he can to get you out of the environment which produces growth. Why? Because when you're here, you're going to get wise. You're going to get wise. You're going to hear the word of the Lord from shepherds and coaches that are going to teach you and train you and challenge you. You're going to rub shoulders with other believers. You're going to minister to other people. They're going to minister to you. You're going to minister before the Lord in the corporate body. I mean, it's such a great thing. So Satan doesn't want you to grow. He wants you to isolate. So if I can get you fighting, then we just don't go to church. If I can get you isolated, don't go there. I got offended. I ain't going back. I'm mad at this person. I'm not going back. Oh, yeah? Well, they did this. I don't like it, so I'm not going back. Listen, you're not going to agree with 100% on any church, anywhere. At some point, you just got to grow your roots deep and say, God, I've got to be where you've asked me to be. God, I've got to show up where you're asking me to be. Why? Because it's there that God meets me. It's there that God's wanting to do something in my life. God told Elijah, go prophesy about the famine. Think about that. He had to prophesy that a famine was coming to the very land that he was living. How difficult was that? Man, go tell him, God, you're sending a famine. So God tells him a famine is coming. But he says, Elijah, because you have been faithful, you've grown your roots deep in me. He goes, I want you to go to the brook of Cherith. And wait for me there, because when you're there, I'm going to send the ravens to feed you in the morning, and they're going to feed you in the evening. And I'm going to allow you to drink from this brook. Think about that. See, sometimes the only way that God can get our attention is through a famine. You ever thought about that? God's waiting. He's waiting on the world to change, right? He's waiting. Where's he waiting? He's waiting for me to show up where he wants me to be. And sometimes when I don't show up where I need to be over and over again, he'll cause a famine, a crisis to happen in my life that says, man, I got to get back into church. Man, we got to get back. We got to get to praying again. I got to get back into my word. I got to get back to fasting and believing. I got to get back. So God does these things. He allows famines to arise in our life to help us get right back and get planted and growing our roots deep where God wants us to be. He'll use a famine, whether he causes a famine or he uses the famine. Either way, it doesn't make a difference. The fact is, he'll use that famine to get us right back to our attention. God, boy, I ain't going to make it unless you go first in my life. God, if you don't help us, we're not going to make it. And God's like, exactly, bingo. That's where he wants us all to be. So we show up. In difficult circumstances, he wants our focus to be upon him. Look at this. Provision doesn't just meet me. Provision doesn't just fall out of the sky, but it waits for me to be where I'm supposed to be. It waits for me. God said, I'm going to feed you morning and night. You're going to drink, but this is where I want you to be. You go to the brook of Cherith. I've got a place for you there. If he just said, but God, I like this brook better. I'm going over here to the brook of Schiffenecker. I'm going to go right over here. Spring River, I like it over there a little bit better. I'm going to go hang out there. He wouldn't have been provided for. God wouldn't have sent the ravens there. God wouldn't have allowed him to drink there. Why? Because he wasn't where God was asking him to be. It's important that we're not only obedient, but we're being where he wants us to be. Be where God wants you to be. And when you obey and be where God wants you to be, provision comes. God sends the things that happen. See, the problem is this. The problem is that most Christians have is this, that we ask God to send the ravens where we are. God, you send the ravens to me. God, I'm going to stay here in bed. I'm going to stay here in my house. But you send the ravens over here. You send the ravens over here. God, you send the ravens over here. I've totally disconnected from the body. I've disconnected from the place he's asked me to come. But God, send your ravens over here to where I'm at. It doesn't work that way. No, we got to be obedient where God's asked us to be. Then God sends the ravens as we need them. Listen, have you ever thought about ravens? Have you ever seen a raven give up something or bring food to somebody? No. Matter of fact, it's just the opposite. Ravens will what? They're known to take things. They're going to slide down. If you see another bird out there eating some roadkill, if you see a raven by, a raven will swoop in and take it away from that bird. You leave some food out on your table and ravens are out there, you turn your head for a second and boom, they're right in to take that thing away from you. Ravens take, they don't give. Think about that. So how ironic that God used ravens to bring food when they're known to scavenge and take food. But he caused the ravens to give the food. Let me declare something to you today. Listen to me very importantly. When you are where you're supposed to be, when you plant yourself and grow your roots deep where God's called you to go and to meet him there, he'll cause the ravens in your life to open up and to give you the provision. God will feed you with what you need. The things that used to take from you will now give to you when you're walking in obedience and faithfulness and planting your roots deep. I'm telling you, plant yourself. Grow your roots deep and say, God, I am ready. God, I am ready to thrive to 2019. Someone say amen. God brings the ravens to feed. God will cause the things that take to give back to you. See, he brings the provision in our life. This woman in the story, she wasn't blessed with an abundance, was she? It didn't say that after she obeyed God, that man, she had barrels and barrels and barrels and barrels full of oil waiting on her front door. It didn't say when Elijah was obedient and prophesied about the famine, and then Elijah went and planted himself. He said, hide yourself by the brook Cherith. It didn't say once he did that, that man, he had all this food stockpiled up. No, it said he had just enough for that day. He would bring him what he needed for the morning and bring him what he needed for the evening. And the widow was the same thing. She would go, make that last meal, and then boom, she could, there'd be enough for one more meal left over. She'd make that meal, and then boom, there'd be enough for one more meal left over. She'd make that meal, and then boom, there'd be enough left over for another meal. See, many times the greatest miracles that God wants to do in our life is not that he wants to bring in abundance, but he wants to sustain you through your famine. See, the very thing, some of you need to praise God right now. His greatest miracle was not a blessing that came out of nowhere. No, the greatest miracle was that you went through a famine in your life. You went through a crisis in your life. You went through a time when you should have lost it. You went through a time when you shouldn't be here. You went through a time if it wasn't for God. But God daily sustained you. God brought to you what you needed daily because you stayed faithful to the house of the Lord. You planted yourself where he told you to be. You met him where you told him you would be. And God brought to you daily what you needed. He sustained you during your famine. It's many times the greatest blessing. It's the greatest blessing that God will sustain through the challenging famines in our life. Look what Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 18, verses 1 and 2. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise, and go down to the potter's house. Now, he's not talking about Dallas, Texas, okay? He's not talking about T.D. Jakes' church. He said, I want you to get up and go to the real potter's house, okay? And there, everybody say there. It's important. Go to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. So, Jeremiah gets up, goes down to the local pottery place, the potter's house, where they're making bowls and vessels and, you know, and cups and all these things. They're making all these things and he's watching them. And as they're spinning the wheel and they're taking the clay, God begins to speak to him and says, hey, you're like clay in my hands. I'm the potter. You're the clay. I'm molding you into the people I want you to be. And even when it messes up, I reshape you and I remold you. And when it happens, I don't throw the clay away, but I remold it and make something great out of it. If you'll just put the clay into the potter's hands. So God speaks this powerful word to him there. Are you getting it? God spoke this powerful word to him and for the whole nation. Why? There. Why? Because he got up, arose, and went to where God told him to be.
God would not have shared that revelation if he had just stayed there. God wouldn't have shared that revelation. God, I don't need to go to the potter's house. I got plenty of things in my cabinet right now to eat from. Why would I need to go down there and purchase something? Why would I need to go down there and hang out with the potter? I've ordered Christmas is just around the corner. We bought all brand new stuff. We got matching bows and glasses right here. Oh, this is great. But no, he had to get up and go where God told him to be. He gets up and obeys, and there God brings this fresh word for him that was still speaking volumes to us generations later. See, God is not waiting. Let me repeat that. We're not waiting on God, but God is waiting on us. God is waiting on you. God, man, you're speaking to me. I know God told me that if I would just get up and spend just a few minutes before I leave work, opening up his word in prayer and just maybe reading a chapter, that God would meet me there. And you do it for a while, and then pretty soon life gets busy and you crowd that time out. God, where are you? God's like, I'm there. Where? Where I told you I'd meet you. I already told you, this is the time I've designated. I spoke it to your heart. You agreed. And we did it. And I was showing up. I'm still there. You're the one not showing up. God, you told me to take this time of my lunch and just to put my mind on you. And boy, I quit doing that. Or God, you told me to take my car on the way when I'm taking people to school and dropping them off. And then when I had that alone time driving to work, that I would just play worship and pray every morning, putting my mind upon you. Got busy, stopped doing that. Now I'm making phone calls on the way to work, and I'm returning this and trying to do all this other stuff. Now, God says, well, I'm there, but are you where he told you to be? Are we meeting him not just on Sunday, but on Monday and on Tuesday and on Wednesday? Are we showing up throughout the week where he's asked us to meet him at? And if you listen, he'll tell you, boy, I want to meet you here. A few minutes of your day, I want you to spend meeting me. But we're not showing up. God's like, listen, I'm here. I'm waiting on you. I'm waiting on you. We're not waiting on God. God is waiting on us. I want you to bow your heads. As you bow your head this morning, I just want to ask you the most important question that you've ever been asked in your life. It's the most important question we ever ask, and it's the beginning step. See, you can't plant yourself and be where God wants you to be until you first make this decision to say, Jesus Christ, I believe you are the Messiah. I'm ready to make Jesus my Lord and Savior of my life. The Bible says that we must believe it in our heart that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. We must believe that. He's God's only Son, that he died on the cross for my sins. The Bible says we believe it in our heart, but we must also confess it with our mouth. If you're here today and say, Pastor, I've never confessed Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Today, I'm ready to do that. I'm ready to surrender my life. I'm ready to make a change in my life. I'm ready to make Jesus Lord of my life. Nobody's looking but me right now. But can you just raise your hand and say, that's me, Pastor. I'm ready to accept Jesus. We won't do anything to single you out or embarrass you. Thank you. Anybody else say, I'm ready to make Jesus Lord of my life. Today's my day. Thank you. Anybody else want to join these? Come on, raise your high right now. Say, that's me. I'm ready. Today's my day. Thank you. This is what we're going to do. We have those who raised their hands this morning. I want you to say this prayer after me out loud. As Christians sitting around you, near you, we're going to say it out loud as well to help you along. Say, Dear Jesus, I confess I am a sinner. Hang on a second. I don't think you guys heard me. I think we're all going to say this prayer together, right? Help these people around. Some of these people, there's some people who raised their hands today that make an important decision. Come on, church. Let's get behind them this morning. Let's get behind. This is the most important thing they're doing in their life. Let's say this prayer with them. Help them. Say, Dear Jesus, I confess I am a sinner. I need you as Lord of my life. Forgive me my sins. I surrender all of my life to you. I believe you are the Messiah. And from this day forward, I will follow after you in Jesus' name. Come on, give him a hand clap. Welcome to the family of God. We're proud of you today. This is awesome. This is why we're here today. For you today. This is why we're here. That you would know that Jesus loves you that much. To give his life for you on the cross. Today, if you prayed that prayer for the first time,
today. We have a special gift we want to give you. Before you leave, stop by the hub back here to our left. We'll have that garage door open, and we'll give you a free Bible and some other information we want to put in your hand. Thank you so much. If you don't have a church home, be faithful to the household of the Lord. Get connected. If you have a church home, go back and tell somebody in that church, hey, I gave my life to Jesus. Tell one of your leaders. Let them know how I can get involved. Today, I want to invite you to stand on your feet. How many say, Pastor, I'm ready. I'm ready today to thrive in 2019. I want to show up where God's calling me to be. Man, I'm ready to go to the next level. Are you ready? Are you ready? We're going to close this song. I invite you. We got plenty of time today. Step out of your seat. Come to the front today. Say, God, as we close this time and around the altar, say, God, I'm going to make my life showing up where you're at. Going after you, God, thirsty for the things of you in my life. Come on, step forward, press into the front. As we close this song, let's make it our prayer. Lift your hands this morning. I want to pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for people who are stepping out saying, God, this year, you know, I'm going to meet you where you've told me to meet you. God, I'm going to go where you called me to go. Someone needs to press in a little longer this morning and say, God, I'm showing up. God, I'm tired of missing. God, I'm tired of not being where you called me to be. This year, God, I want to be in the place you called me to be. God, I'm ready, God, to be where you called me to be. God, this year, I'm ready to go where you called me to go. I'm ready to be, Lord, that you can bring the things in my life, that you can speak to me again. God, you can bring provision again. God, you can bring a fresh word again. You can bring encouragement again. God, I'm going to meet you on Monday morning. God, I'm going to meet you on Tuesday afternoon. God, I'm going to meet you on Wednesday evening. When is it, God? So I say, yes, yes, God. Yes, 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 God. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. Come on. Press it just a little bit longer. I feel the Holy Spirit doing something here today. Come on. Say, God, yes. Yes, God. Yes, God. Come on. Come on, put your hands together and bless the Lord this morning. You received that word today? Turn to somebody, give a big high five and say, I love you, man. God bless you. We love you. Have a great afternoon.